Take your ADHD business to the next level with Chad's Parents of Parent Family Training on ADHD, a certification program. Help parents in your community discover new techniques and how to manage ADHD across the lifespan. We've done the hard work for you. When you become a licensed partner, you'll receive ongoing customer and marketing support from Chad, course materials, training manuals, and much more. Help improve the lives of those with ADHD while growing your business. Become a licensed partner today. Visit Chad.org for more info. Click, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. What parents of ADHD kids don't get. With us in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire, who's an ADHD parent coach, which is just perfect for our interview tonight. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, May the 4th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sorry if the frog in my voice tonight. Just got back late last night from the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference that was up in Reston, Virginia. Had a great time, met a lot of great new people, and had a lot of really good meetings, some exciting stuff coming down the pike. So that was really good. Let's just talk, just a few announcements real quick. One, Dr. Barclay's always prides me to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise funding for small-scale research worldwide. And also, we have over 450 interviews. It's kind of overwhelming when you think about it, of interviews on Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video, with more than 210 hours of programming. So I put together my favorite list, my top 10, which is actually the top 20. I throw a bonus 10 in the end because I couldn't choose the best 10. If you're interested, you can go to digcoaching.com/ATR and download that list. Click on the links and go check it out. The Chad conference is, it's time to start thinking about that. It's going to be in Southern California this year. It's, I think the second weekend in, November. You can learn more about that by going to chadd.org. But we'll, stay tuned to, our Attention Talk Radio, cause you'll be hearing more about that, in the months to come. So let's get into tonight's show. This was kind of brought about by just some musings and general discussions about phone calls that we get from parents of ADHD kids. And what's fascinating is often the parent calling is the one that has ADHD, in other words, who their child inherited from. And they're casted well in life at that point in time, and they're surviving, but they don't realize is that that their child maybe doesn't do it like they do, or a little bit different. And what we hope to do tonight is really kind of shed some light on those parents whose kids have ADHD. They're trying to get some help. It's not really kind of quite working. This is one of those shows that's really, really good to just listen to kind of anonymously. As an aside, one of the things that I'm most proud of is we've done a bunch of shows out there where I've gotten emails from like pharmacists or physicians or actually psychiatrists that learned something from an interview from one of our shows that they wouldn't necessarily go seek. It's not that they're ignorant. It's just that there's so much information for them that on their fields, they can't really know everything. Yet we expect them to be God. So with that, this is one of those kind of shows that's that's designed for you to listen to in the privacy of your own home all by yourself if you're just really kind of curious. We did tape this in advance, so we're going to roll the tape here in just a second. So if you've got your popcorn or a good comfortable seat, or if you're cooking dinner or driving down the road, we hope you enjoy the show. So let's roll the tape.
Okay, today we're here with Caroline McGuire, sometimes guest, sometimes co-host, and sometimes guest host of Attention Talk Radio. She's certified as a personal coach for children with attention deficit disorder and families. Her revolutionary coaching program teaches executive functioning skills to children, teenagers, and young adults. She's given presentations really worldwide. She's a former coach at the Hallowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts, where she's a main coach for children and teenagers and co-led social skills groups and consultant with local schools. You can learn more about Caroline by going to her website at NE, that stands for New England, necoaching.com. And with that, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great topic tonight. What parents of ADHD kids don't know. You know me, I like to pay attention to attention, and you know, life is wrought with difficulties, not because of what you do know, but because of what you don't know. And I know I get phone calls, not for children so much, but at least adolescents and young adults that are in school, for parents wanting to engage a coach with their child. And all too often, it's interesting to me because it's like, who really needs the coach? The young adult or adolescent or the parent? And oftentimes, to me, it really kind of starts with the parent. Your thoughts on this?
So I think you're absolutely right. It starts with the parent, because whether your child is 5 or 35, as parents, we have a tremendous influence on how things go. I think that the issue, too, is that most kids would if they could, right? So one of the things that has to happen is that we as parents have to educate ourselves, grow, and really learn how to shift our thinking. So it really does start with the parents. It would be simple if it was just all about the kid, but often parents say to me, you know, can you help fix this situation? But the fact is that it's human dynamics, right? So the situation is so many facets, and much of that has to do with the parents and how they communicate, and also what their role is. So, for example, if your college student leaves college, comes home, isn't successful necessarily, needs to learn life skills, you have a role, but that role is very different with an over 18-year-old than it was when that child was five.
Yep.
So it does all kind of start with the parents.
We jumped into this. I want to kind of back up because something kind of occurred to me, one of my favorite sayings that really kind of puts things in perspective. And, you know, when you have a parent, it's not like you go through a class. Matter of fact, it's not like you really even get a user manual when you're leaving the hospital. But metaphorically, let's say that, you know, there was a class for parents, or it just really works. And one of the things that you have to realize is 50% of the parents graduate in the bottom of their class. In other words, half of them are or below average. And I don't mean that really negatively, but it's not like you instantaneously have great parenting skills and you really kind of know what's going on. And all too often, they're out there trying to do some things, whether it's parenting or particularly working with a special needs person or somebody with a learning disability, and not knowing what to do. And that's where it kind of comes back to me, is it all kind of goes back to educating yourself and understanding things first so you can be effective with your kid, which really kind of gets into kind of what you're describing. And that notion that, you know, not all parents are experts, just by the very nature of that. What are your just general thoughts on that? I mean,
so I think it's so true, and I would love it if every parent left the hospital with a manual. But the thing about it is that I love about that image is that it would be a different manual for those of us parenting a child with learning disabilities, ADHD, that kind of thing. And so that's part of this, right?
Yep.
A huge part of it is that we ourselves may have a parenting style that does or doesn't work with that kid, but we have to shift our thinking in the sense that when I work with parents, they may even have had a great success with one of their other children. They may have a second family, and this is their second time around, and their first time around, their kids didn't have some challenges, and so what they did worked. But when you have a kid who has ADHD, the way you're approaching them and how we manage and what we let go and what we, you know, pick as battles and how we communicate most of the time has to change. And by the way, there is something for parents out there if they're interested. Chad has a parent-to-parent course. I am a certified trainer for that, but I'm not just saying that for this. I think definitely let's talk about the elements in the show, but parents can go to that and look at it and take that class very inexpensively on, you know, all of this shifting that I'm proposing in terms of our styles.
Yep. So I just want to back up because I think one of the keys for the show is everybody knows I like to pay attention to attention, and that is shifting our attention. And one of the things that I like to describe is human beings are similar. They're not the same. And your children are similar, not the same. And by definition, similar is not the same. It's actually different. And I think that you bring up a good point, kind of, is that if you have one kid and you're working with them and something works, that doesn't mean your other sibling is the exact, their sibling is the exact same. Matter of fact, they're probably similar and work very different. And Caroline, I don't know about you, but I've got two children myself, and they couldn't be more different in terms of how they do things and process stuff. And so that pausing and realizing that each one is unique and begin to look at them as unique and different and work with them individually, I think is one of the keys.
Absolutely. I think, first of all, I always think that it's funny because I'll work with even three kids within a family, and they're all so different, right? Every kid is different, and I think that shift in mindset that you may not apply things in the exact same way. And I think, obviously, there's fairness, which, you know, kids are real hawks for fairness. You have to come up with some systems that are fair. But I think that there needs to be that understanding that you have to pay attention not just to what the kid is doing that is difficult or doesn't work or is causing chaos in the family. You have to pay attention to what you're paying attention to and what you're doing. Because we all have things we do, and it's not a judgment, right? It's mm-hmm. based on stress, how we cope with things, our own backgrounds, but I think that mindset of not just paying attention to the kid, paying attention to yourself is sort of what I'm prescribing.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because that's a big deal. Is if you're paying attention, I mean, if you pause and notice that you have you're a working parent and you're really, really stressing when you get home, you pay attention to the fact that I just want my kid to be able to kind of go do their homework. For many, I think there's a shift of attention of thinking that needs to take place here because, you know, Caroline, one of the things that I've learned is those with ADHD, they are very interactive learners. They need to be either moving or doing, have it demonstrated to them or processing it out loud. And just to park them in a corner and say, digest this, is really, really teaching them how to do it the hard way and not really kind of playing to their strengths. So you want to process that for a second?
Sure. I mean, I think that's one of the stresses of parenting an ADHD kid is that there are things that our family doesn't have the capacity for. I remember years and years ago when I worked at the Hollowell Center, one of the doctors said that to me. He said that's something that comes up a lot is that, and I've seen it over and over again, is that we have to look at what our capacity is and what, you know, our own emotional state is, and also what's going on in the family. So, for instance, you're completely right. ADHD kids don't just park in the corner. And as a matter of fact, if they're in the corner too long with their computer, you start to wonder what are they up to and are they actually productive? Are they staring at the screen? But we as parents sometimes have a tendency to, you know, overcommit the family, or we are expecting things that aren't going to work. So that's part of this adjustment and this shift is that, you know, it may be that other friends of yours are able to come home and cook dinner and the kid self-sufficiently conquers homework. That's probably not your kid. So part of this is adjusting and shifting. What is it that we need to do as a family, and what does that mean for me as a parent? Does that mean that we adjust our thinking and we get takeout more because I need to be there on homework? Does that mean that we work on skills, is really what I'd love to, but in the meantime you may need to shift things to help the child so that they can be more interactive and that they can develop a homework system so that every night isn't a big, what I call the homework wars. It isn't a big drama. But it's that mindset, again, that, you know, paying attention to what goes on here and what's my emotional state. I'm stressed from work, so I'm less patient, and now does it spiral out of control?
And that kind of cascades to the system, to everything. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what maybe getting coaching for yourself would look like to set that environment to help promote the kid and put them in a good position to learn. We're going to go to break real quick. Everybody, if you want to learn a little bit more about Caroline McGuire, go to NE, that stands for New England, coaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Come back. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're having a conversation about what parents of ADHD kids don't get. And at a high level, many of them don't get that sometimes that they need a little bit of help to kind of help themselves in order to help their ADHD kids survive and thrive. And before the break, we were talking about understanding your emotional state and what you're paying attention to. And Caroline, there's a lot of people I get phone calls from, and it's interesting because I always want to ask the question, who did their child inherit their ADD from? Because often it's the person I'm talking to on the phone. And it's interesting because I find that I've always watched the Dog Whisperer or just those training type programs. It's been interesting to me because it's really about training the trainer. Because if the trainer does it right and consistently each time, then the dog will usually kind of comply. And I think that sometimes is that if the parent can provide a certain level of consistency and discipline, it will work out here. But often the parent is actually having difficulties with that in their own right. Then you throw that on top of emotional capacity, and just the dynamics are kind of what's going on. It becomes very kind of chaotic, and there becomes this stress of we have to do this now. And again, going back to the point is, I think a lot of times the parents need to kind of pause and get some coaching or some help to kind of get those things situated first, so then the student can kind of come in and we can help them. You want to comment on that?
Sure, I have so much to say on that. You're absolutely right. And I will say a funny thing. When I was in graduate school and I was studying, you know, modifying behavior and everything, I had this realization that I'm a terrible dog parent and that's one of my problems is that I am not consistent with my dog. So it is truly, you know, sort of the same. What you put in, you get out, right? And if you're not consistent, you get something else first. And the phrase I always love about parents is putting the oxygen mask on first, right? When we're on a plane, if you know, they give the little announcement, they always say, put your oxygen mask on first and then the child. So it's about if you're a parent with ADHD, you know, there's different scenarios. If you're a parent with ADHD and you're struggling with time management, you're struggling with keeping track, you're struggling with your emotions, it is totally understandable that then managing yourself and then also trying to help support and scaffold, meaning put supports around your kid, is overwhelming, right? A mother said that to me the other day. She said, my relationship with my daughter has become overwhelming. And so that's where some of the having your, you know, working on your own situation,
yep,
working on how you communicate, working on the ADHD challenges you face can really,
yep,
cascade to the kid because, you know, you're likely struggling and that is going to make things harder with the kid. The other thing is there's something called parent coaching, which is this idea that with young children, although I do it with families of all ages, I would work with the parents to help them with their own issues, to help them with how they approach and communicate with the child, to help educate them about, you know, why do I say pick your battles? Why is this power struggle not going anywhere? And then they would also implement strategies with the child, especially if they're young. But I work with parents of kids in college because sometimes as a parent, you're doing things that become counterproductive, you know, like buying kids 5 different iPhones because they lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a judgment. It's just at some point we have to put the oxygen mask on first so that,
mm-hmm,
things can get better.
Mm-hmm. So as a flood of just ideas kind of keep flowing from these kind of conversations, we interviewed Elaine Taylor-Kloss, 7 or 8 months ago on their action plan. One of the things that was fascinating to me was the pick one thing at a time,
mm-hmm,
and work your way through it until you get that set and add to it. All too often, parents are trying to do too much at one time, and that's overwhelming for them and overwhelming for the child. And again, going back to our theme, what parents don't get is, sometimes you just have to start with some small things and go for little wins and build on it as opposed to trying to do everything at one time. You want to comment on that as well?
Yeah, I give a talk called Behavioral Change 101, and one of the things I always point out to everyone is that, and the parents that I'm speaking to, is that, you know, trying to change everything. Parents will come to me and they have a list of things that are not working in their family or with this child, and the list literally goes from the minute the kid wakes up to the when they finally, you know, sort of shovel them into bed. And
mm-hmm,
the idea that I always try to point out to parents is that you're talking about you yourself or your child changing every aspect of their lives, and that just doesn't happen, right? And all,
yep,
the research shows and every experience I've had shows that the more you pick one aspect, whether it's working on getting on the bus in the morning or working on an afternoon routine with the homework that works or you yourself working on not yelling, screaming, and nagging, right? That,
mm-hmm,
will benefit you and will result in real change that you can see, and that's a win. And then,
yep,
the other thing I would say on that, Jeff, is there's no one size fits all, and change takes time. So, you know, we're looking at things getting better, which is sort of, you know, I know a little bit of a fuzzy judgment, but it's not that overnight things are going to,
yep,
become instantly, you know,
yep,
solved.
Yep, absolutely. It's a complex ecosystem. Plus, in addition to that, your kids grow over a period of time, so their moods, their part of development kind of grows and makes some adjustments as well. So it's sometimes once you get it all set for a certain age, it'll kind of migrate and make some adjustments as they graduate, if you will, into the next level of adolescence. So,
right. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's really also one of the hard things about parenting kids with some challenges is that sometimes you have to remember that what worked for elementary school may not,
yep,
work for middle school, and it's frustrating, but it doesn't,
uh-huh,
mean that all hope is lost. It means you have to sort of reboot and reevaluate.
Yep. I want to go to a break in a couple minutes and talk about some other mind shifts in terms of environment, functionality, and roles. But before we do, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Caroline. I've often got a phone call from the parent who has ADHD, and they're successful. They have figured out, I call them compensatory strategies, that they've been able to adapt and actually really pretty thrive. And it's fascinating to me because I find them sometimes to be the most closed-minded, because if it works for them, it's funny because they cling to it and they expect their child and everybody else to do it their way. And they spend a fair amount of time pushing a structure or a system that just doesn't necessarily work for their kid, and it's really kind of counterproductive and counterintuitive. And I spend a lot of time not so much helping them know what will work for their child, but actually getting them to let go of what they insist works, mostly because they've always had the proof that it works for them. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. First, you know, it's interesting that I think that that is very true. A lot of times I work with families, and when the parent, you know, says, I have ADHD, and they really seem to have implemented a bunch of strategies, you know, I get excited because I think, oh, they get it. And then what happens is I realize that they, you know, they learned to do it a certain way, and so they expect exactly the child to mimic that. And the child is inevitably an incredibly different personality, and their challenges may be different. So one of the things that I have to sort of talk to the person about is, it worked for you. That doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And, you know, what you want, parent, is that the kid is going to develop those kind of compensatory strategies. It's so great that you did, but let's not push it on them, because then you, of course, get into that power struggle,
yep,
you know, where the kid is resisting even if it's a good idea. But that is true. I've had that happen where people are very successful entrepreneurs, or they were successful in sports, or they were successful in life, and they really have done it by figuring themselves out. And the other piece I always have to talk about is, remember, with executive function weaknesses, often these kids are immature, and their age does not necessarily reflect their stage of development. So they may not have figured themselves out quite yet.
Yep.
And of course, we all have a very rosy picture of how easy it was. I know my mother has said this to me, that, yes, I've figured it out, but I was probably 25 by the time that all happened. So, you know, I think one of the things that I have to sometimes ask the person is, if I called your mother, would they say that you figured out these compensatory strategies and became this well-oiled machine at age 12? And they would laugh sometimes and say, you know, no. I would say, no, it didn't come together then. But I think using humor to talk about it and just realize that we all recreate our story a little bit, and our story often is, you know, I did it, why can't you? When in reality, you know, it took all of us a while, and maybe this is just something we have to work on.
I want to insert something here that it might resonate with some of you. It might not with others, but those it does, I hope really it'll give you a perspective here. As a high adventure scoutmaster for years in Boy Scouts, it was fascinating to me because they always talked about the Eagle Scout and how impressive it was, and how they held them in kind of self-esteem and stuff. And going through the process, when you were working with those scouts and through the years, and they actually became Eagle, one of the things that I always point out to the other scout masters coming through is, no, they're Eagles in training. They're not an Eagle Scout until years after they actually get out of Scouts. And I can say that because my own son, he got his rank and kind of hang around, and he's starting to apply it right now. But even when he had it for the last couple of years, Scouts, he was anything but. And I take that and I kind of come back kind of tongue in cheek and say, well, you know, if your mother said she finally got it and you were age 25, it's like you were actually raising your mother. Because, again, there's not like a parenting school, and it goes back to the only way to get this is the school of hard knocks, which brings us back to that notion is there's a lot of things that parents don't necessarily get, and maybe you should actually get the coaching first to kind of get you in that right spot so you can actually kind of support your kids. So I'm going to let everybody think about that a little bit while we go to break. Again, to learn a little bit more about Caroline McGuire, go to necoaching.com. And if anything that I'm saying actually makes some sense and you want to learn about me, go to digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get five key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're trying to provide a very safe, very anonymous place for parents out there with ADHD kids to go listen to a podcast or a radio show and open their mind and illuminate that they might actually be able to help their kids by getting some help themselves first to understand what they're missing. We've been talking a little bit about some the shift in thinking and the mindset and some stuff. And Caroline, one of the big areas that I find fun to coach that I think is a big deal is when it comes to a shift in thinking, when it comes to functionality. And I always like to tell this story because it was a blast for me. I was coaching a couple one time about their dining room table was a mess. And after quizzing them on what it was and asking a bunch of other inquisitory, curious questions, as you know, I asked them where they're going to put their sorting table. And they were a little befuddled, like, what do you mean sorting table? I said, yeah, where are you going to put it? And they said, well, we don't need one. We don't have one. I said, well, actually, you do. That's what your dining room table is functioning as. You can call it a dining room table all you want, but that's not what its function is. And the fun part to me was after that revelation in about 75 seconds, they renamed it to the sorting table and have been working perfectly. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because as you begin to look at your house, a lot of times rooms and things function a certain way, and people are stuck on the label of how they think that it's supposed to work. Another fun story, my house, I'm in Florida. You don't use dining room tables yet. We've got one, and one day I just took a drill and drilled like a 4-inch hole in the middle of the dining room table and labeled it the media room because that's what we used it for, and the hole was to put everybody's laptop cord down the middle of it. And going forward, when you're dealing with kids with ADHD in a household, sometimes I think it's just a little bit better if you design it for functionality, not so much for being pretty. So what are your general kind of thoughts on what I've said in that general space about kind of changing and looking at things from a functional perspective as opposed to label to facilitate the ADHD household?
I think it's very true. I mean, I think that often we get stuck on an idea, and that's why I always bring up the example of, you know, it's great to say that certain kids can, you know, go all weekend and at 4 o'clock on Sunday they can churn out all their homework and they don't whine and they don't roll around on the floor, and that may be what your friends are experiencing, but that's not necessarily what works for you and your family. So I think that there's like this need to look at, you know, what works for your family and look at the functionality. You know, I've had parents turn into poor dining rooms. They're really not working out. I've had many parents turn the dining room into a study room because, you know, the ADHD kid, especially yep. once they're a preteen or a teen, they don't necessarily want to be with, you know, the family in the, mm-hmm. in the kitchen anymore, but the parents have to be able to be interactive. And so, you know, it's the dining room table, and then slowly it morphs into it's actually the real study space. I've had people remove the dining room table and actually put desks in there. And so I think part of this is just this idea that functionality-wise, you know, what works and what yep. is what helps this child thrive and succeed yep. and helps you meet their needs as yep. well, because it's sort of this banishing of the shoulds, right? It yep. should be a dining room, yep. but why, you know? Yep. And And I also have situations where parents have to buy a second computer, which, yeah, it's an expense, and sometimes you get them cheap on eBay. But the idea really being that, you know, maybe it's better if the kid has one computer that doesn't have games and everything on it for them. And the other kids in the family, yeah, they can look at a computer with Minecraft on it and not turn it on. So, you know, you're trying to think of what do you need to do rather than what should you do.
Yeah, that notion of having a here's a work computer and here's a play computer, and so that you don't intermingle the software, I think is a really good idea. Another good idea is some kids with ADD they can't be by themselves. I mean, they got to be a room with somebody else. So you take a room and you set up so there's a little bit of an office for you and an office for the kids. So you're both doing things, working together. But independently, sometimes that will actually help them as opposed to being on their own. Some mechanical things like just admit finally that the laundry room actually is not a laundry room, it's actually the closet at the same time. That notion of getting clothes out of there and taking it to their closet and getting them back, I mean, all the dirty clothes end up there anywhere anyway, and actually formalize and say this is the closet, so they're not, you're not screaming, I'm marching back and forth. That can be revolutionary in some situations. The notions for some kids is having two sets of books, exact same, one at school and one at home, so you don't have to tote them back and forth. That functionally can be very, very helpful for an ADHD household. That notion of saying, hey, listen, at the end of the day, you know, we don't need lots of plates around the place. Everybody's got their own. And you've got your name in glass. You go find it. That is a good way of kind of keeping the house clean and dishes done, because if you only have one glass and yours is missing, you got to go find it. The other notion of getting rid of your chest or drawers, because realizing folding clothes and sticking them in there is a good reason for kids to throw it on the ground, whereas if they have a bunch of baskets, they can toss them in the basket. It might be wrinkled, but the idea is everything is in its home at that point in time as opposed to all over the floor. And I say baskets because the friction, I call the number of steps that you've got to do to get it where it needs to be, can really be an inhibitor. So these types of things help the house kind of stay half clean so you don't have that visual clutter, so that people actually can think. All of these are not necessarily mainstream type of things that you would think about in a house, but again, that notion of functionality and organizing things that way so it's simple can make life so much easier when it really, really, really helps. So been a little bit of a diatribe there, but I'll stop and pause and let you comment.
Well, and I think it's similar to something I've talked about on this show before, where some kids that I work with really do better if they stay at school and they do their homework at school and the books and everything, they don't even come home. And, of course, there comes a point where there's too much homework or sports schedules, et cetera, don't make that possible. But, you know, it's really this notion that, you know, why does the backpack have to come back and forth full of essential things? If there's an arrangement that can be made, if there's an after-school study program that works, you know, that might be a way to eliminate some of this, you know, trekking of essential things back and forth. And if you think about it, as adults, yes, sometimes we bring work home, but there are many jobs where you do not bring everything back and forth and have to keep track of the essential elements, you know, of your job. So I think that it's really this idea that, you know, our working memory is what it is. We can improve it and build it, but in the meantime, what works to help reduce the family stress?
Yep, absolutely. So need to wrap this up. Caroline, any last thoughts or comments or any small things that we haven't mentioned that's worth mentioning?
A lot of times parents call me and say that the child is resistant to coaching or is resistant to help or what have you. And it's a good thing to remember that even while we're trying to work with a kid to make them more open to getting help, you as a parent can engage in coaching, engage in education, and you can start to shift how you interact with the child, and that will make a difference. And I know it's very frustrating, and I know that a lot of these things are challenging, but it really does help to put the oxygen mask on first, because it allows you as a parent to communicate in a way that is more effective.
Exclamation point. While you were talking, one thing that actually kind of occurred as I did this twice, where I was dealing with a very late adolescent, really kind of early adult, and the kid had been resistant to coaching, but the parent, the ADHD parent, called me up and realized that they needed help, and I actually coached them together. So it wasn't parent against child. It was they were going through the process, and as the parent would learn something, they would remark about how helpful it was for them. And it was kind of like a little bit of mano-a-mano in those situations, and I'm not so sure this will really work in many, but a certain group, is it really kind of helped because it was a little bit of imperfection and some sharing that went back and forth. But all this, Caroline, goes really right back into the parents of kids with ADHD are looking for some help with their kids, and I think sometimes it's probably more effective to get some help, like as we've described, yourself first, whether it's some type of parenting type thing or some type of coaching, because training the trainer is so much more making it easier for you to make it easy for the kids. So with that, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Everybody, if you want to learn more about Caroline, go to necoaching.com. That's N as in New England, coaching.com. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.